This is the Reading Envy Podcast, where we'll have what you're reading.
Hi everyone, it's Jenny, and I'm sitting here in the well-lit back corner of the Reading Envy Pub, thinking about the first year of the Reading Envy Podcast. It's been a great year, and we really appreciate those of you who have been listening. And as always, we'd love to hear what you think. We'll be trying some other new things in the new year. Hopefully you're not tired of me yet, because I'll continue to be on every episode, and Scott will move to about every other episode, where we'll keep our format of having a guest and talking about books. I'm also curious about what people who are in the industry read, people who write books, people who sell books. So I'm going to try to track down some of those people for 2015. For today, kind of as a year in review, we had a few people who wanted to stop by and talk about their favorite books from 2014. Up first, we have Brian Alexander. I'm starting with Brian because he was our very first guest on episode 2, and then he returned on episode 11, where we talked about how and why we read.
Greetings, Reading Enviers, and Happy New Year for 2015. My name is Brian Alexander. I'm speaking to you from Vermont, in the upper northeast of the United States, and I'm going to be talking about my favorite book that I read in 2014. And that book is T.E. Lawrence's Seven Pillars of Wisdom. I read this for a few reasons, one of which is I'm in the middle of a frenzy of reading about World War I, mostly based on the centennial, but also from general interest. I've read a whole series of nonfiction works on the subject, some fiction, but this book just towers above all of them, far above. Why? Well, for various reasons, one of which is its gorgeous style. Every page, no matter how dry the topic, Lawrence has an incredible gift for word choice, sentence structure, and meticulously constructed paragraphs. Here's one, for example, early on, trying to think about what the whole Arab revolt means in the future. For once, fortune favored the bold player, and the Arab epic tossed up its stormy road from birth through weakness, pain, and doubt to red victory. It was the just end to an adventure which had dared so much, but after the victory there came a slow time of disillusion, and then a night in which the fighting men found that all their hopes had failed them. Now, at last, may there have come to them the white peace of the end, in the knowledge that they had achieved a deathless thing, a lucent inspiration to the children of their race. Wow, what a gorgeous paragraph, or just passage. I love the way that Lawrence plays with color and teases out the theme of death and life. The other reason to like this book is that it's rich in details. If you know something about World War I, you know the general outlines of the British and Arab campaign against the Ottomans, this will add a great deal. If you don't know the story, it's a wild, wild story with tremendous color and adventure. But one of the things I like is that even if you do know the story well, if you know the history well, there's lots of strange, even weird details. Here's one. Lawrence is riding with some Arab allies in Syria, and they discover some ruins, and the Arabs turn to present these to Lawrence in a way which I've never seen elsewhere in any writing. Here we go. We had ridden far out over the rolling plains of North Syria to a ruin of the Roman period, which the Arabs believe was made by a prince of the border as a desert palace for his queen. The clay of its building was said to have been kneaded for greater richness, not with water, but with the precious essential oils of flowers. My guides, sniffing the air like dogs, led me from crumbling room to room, saying, "This is jessamine, this violet, this rose." But at last the whom drew me, "Come and smell the very sweetest scent of all." And we went into the main lodging, to the gaping window sockets of its eastern face, and there drank with open mouths of the effortless, empty, eddyless wind of the desert throbbing past. That slow breath had been born somewhere beyond the distant Euphrates and had dragged its way across many days and nights of dead grass to its first obstacle, the mad-made walls of our broken palace. About them, the wind seemed to fret and linger, murmuring in baby speech. "This," they told me, "is the best. It has no taste." My Arabs were turning their backs on perfumes and luxuries to choose the things in which mankind had had no share or part. What a strange and beautiful passage, linking together time, history, and interesting analysis of the Arab social group and their style. Well, the whole book is full of great stuff. I recommend it to anybody. You can work through the entire narrative or just dip into it for lovely bits. That's all for me for 2014. This is Brian Alexander, signing off from Vermont. Happy New Year, reading enviers.
Well, thanks to Brian for sending that in from Vermont. I feel like I should have some kind of transition music, like if I were doing This American Life or something, I'd have something catchy right here, but I didn't plan that far ahead. I have to post this soon. Our next contribution comes from Steve. Steve was one of my guests on episode 8 when I went around and talked to some of my favorite readers in the library where I work. He did not record this, but he sent it to me, so I am just going to read it. He says, "This was a good year for books, but to narrow it down a bit, I'll mention Hotel Savoy by Joseph Roth and An Unnecessary Woman by Rabih Alameddine. Roth, Austrian through and through, wrote Savoy in 1924, English translation in 1986, was concerned with all the Austrian Empire expatriates between the wars, and the Hotel Savoy sensitively but realistically reveals a vibrant culture still beating within each individual. Great stuff. He cannot let go of it, and by midway through his book, neither could I." Alameddine wrote An Unnecessary Woman in 2013 and created one of the most unforgettable characters I have ever encountered, a woman in shell-shocked Beirut who manages an intellectual life of few bounds and a knowledge of all that is around her while remaining a recluse. I'll have to say as well that Broken Road, from the Iron Gates to Mount Athos, is every bit as absorbing as the first two titles that trace Fermor's cross-European trek. That's from Steve, and the reference to Broken Road is because he talked about Patrick Leigh Fermor in our 8th episode when he was on. I also wanted to say I also read An Unnecessary Woman this year because it was on the list for the National Book Award. So thank you, Steve, for your contribution. Really appreciate it. And before we leave the library, I had another submission from a coworker librarian, Christy. I'll let her explain it.
My name is Christy, and my son is named Ben. He is 2.5 years old. When I asked him what his favorite book was, he told me Builder Goose, which is a picture book that's written by Bonnie Ashburn. And what she did is she took famous Mother Goose rhymes and changed them to be about construction vehicles like dump trucks and backhoes. In the following conversation, Ben and I talk about his favorite book, and we both read excerpts from it.
My goodness, you have a lot of books. What's your favorite book of all?
Builder Goose. He wants to read the Builder Goose book. Read that book.
What do you like about this book, Ben?
I like the skid steers.
You like the skid steers?
Yes, yeah, skid
steers. Do you want me to read the skid steer part of it? The itsy bitsy skid steer drove up the steep dirt hill, stockpiling rock with nimbleness and skill. Up came the dump truck and hauled it all away, and the itsy bitsy skid steer kept working hard all day.
Baby Cassandra, you want to read the Baby Goose book?
Why doesn't Ben read the Baby Goose Builder Goose book?
Builder Goose and Builder Goose. Three programs. Builder Goose, Builder Goose. Goose and a door opening. It's the beastie skins. Climbing the dirt. And Skid excavator, excavator, big excavator. Roll it that, roll it that. Get back that. Roll it that, roll it that. Three dump trucks. Two dump trucks. God. Where's the God, Mommy?
Which one, baby?
This one.
Three dump trucks.
Three dump trucks.
See how they work.
See how they work.
They wait in line to pick up the load of dirt and rocks, then head down the road and stop at the spot where they're going to unload the three dump trucks.
I am done.
Thank you, Christy, and thank you, Ben. Of course, here at Reading Envy, we are very big fans of starting to read early and starting to develop strong reading tastes early. Well, today I was looking toward editing this podcast together, and I was like, I don't have a lot of people contributing. So I put out a plea in Twitter, and I had one response, so I'm going to read that one next. In Twitter, I am at Reading Envy, makes it really easy. And John Haupt, who is at Jossiquin, I think that's how you say it, he responded and said, one thing he's really been enjoying is the Heroes of Olympus series this year. The Mark of Athena being his favorite of the five. Those are the books by Rick Riordan. I had to look up how to say his last name. He also added that he's always enjoyed juvenile and YA fiction, but lately he's been reading even more of it as he keeps up with his son, Simon. Well, thank you, John, for your contribution. It's interesting how we had two people who were reading specific books because of their children. Makes perfect sense. Up next, we have Luke Burridge. Luke was our guest on episode 17. He's best known for his own podcast, the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. So I'll let him talk about his favorite book of 2014.
Hi, my name's Luke Burridge from the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, and Jenny has asked me to recommend my favorite book of the year. Now, on the SFBRP, we always list everything like by star ratings, so I thought, well, I'd look back through and see which books I gave five stars to, and it turns out this year five stars has gone to Andy Weir, The Martian, which was actually the first book that I read this year. Me and Juliana read that one, listened to that as an audiobook, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's probably not the best book that I read this year, but certainly one of the most enjoyable. And the other book that I gave five stars to is one of the Culture series books by Ian M. Banks, and it's called Inversions, which is, I think, one of the hidden gems. I'd call it one of the hidden gems of the Culture series. It's absolutely fantastic. However, it does kind of require you to already know kind of what's going on in the Culture world and how the contact you thing works, because it's a fantasy story or medieval political story told over these different sides, like these two different kingdoms, or one empire and then a kingdom on two different sides of a mountain range in this one planet, and things are going on at the same time. But the two people who are actually interacting with the world in these two different stories that are going on are actually people who used to be part of like a galaxy-spanning civilization, who are now existing in a medieval kind of, not really, it's not really fantasy, but there is like, there's kind of hints at magic, but then the magic is actually, you know, technology sufficiently advanced, which, because it's from the Culture. So it's one of those weird books that you kind of had to have read at least two or three other Culture series books to get it, but it is like, once you know that, just read it. It's totally different from everything else, and it's one of Ian M. Banks's most M-less books in the Culture series, because he writes in under two names, one with an M in Ian Banks and sometimes with just Ian Banks, and this is the most Ian Banks novel with an M in his name, because it is science fiction, kind of, but also isn't. But it does. It's weird. It's weird. Anyway, that's my very unsuitable suggestion. But it is one of the best books that I read this year. One of my most enjoyable books that I've read this year. And the audiobook was very, very good too. So that's it from me. Thanks.
Thanks, Luke. If you listen to episode 18 of the Reading Envy podcast, you will hear Scott and I talk about our favorite books of 2014. I rated more books 5 stars this year than I think I ever have, so this has been a great year of reading. I'm glad other people have had great reading years too. I also wanted to say that up between now and the end of the year, I will be posting a lot at readingenvy.com just about my year in reading. I always go back and I run some statistics and I compare it to other years and I examine how I've met my reading goals that I make every year. So if you're into lists the way I am, keep an eye out for that because it's kind of fun to do. Up next, I have a contributor who takes a little bit of an explanation. As I've mentioned before, I am still every once in a while on the SFF audio podcast. Mostly my role over there is to coordinate audiobook reviews, and that's a big job. I've done it for a few years, and one of my top reviewers over there is Casey. And so Casey sent in a submission for his favorite book or books of the year.
Hi, my name is Casey Hampton. I live in Oregon. I'm a grad student, and I am here to talk to you about a couple of books. So I study the craft of writing, and good writing for me will always trump good story. And so I know we were supposed to choose our favorite book of the year and tell you why we love it so very much, and I couldn't do that. I want to tell you about three books that I read during 2014 that have really lingered, even now as the end of the year is almost here. So the first one is nonfiction. It's written by James Agee and Walker Evans. And Walker Evans is a photographer, and James Agee is the writer. The title is Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, and it is, I think it's 1936. These two guys go down to the South and spend time with three sharecroppers and their families. And this book is a product of their experience down there. It's a powerful book. It's not an easy book. It's full of poverty, racial tension. It's a grounding in humanity. And it's unlike probably most books you will ever read, and it would be worth it to go find this book and read it. It's a book that would be best if you read it in long stretches rather than short bursts of reading. It's not a book you want to pick up and set down and pick up and set down. Dedicate some time to this one. The writing is amazing. James Agee is just a talent. It was so very good. The other books are fiction, and the first one I want to tell you about is called The Lost Salt Gift of Blood, and it's written by Alistair MacLeod. And MacLeod, well, this is a collection of short stories, and MacLeod is renowned for landscape and character, and these stories center around Cape Breton, which is up near Nova Scotia, and the landscape and the characters are almost interactive. They're so well written. And the people that are depicted in these stories are people of the earth. And I would encourage you to go read that. The last book, and it might be the book that had the most profound influence on me during the year, was Ken Kesey's Sometimes a Great Notion. Kesey is a master writer and storyteller, and when you combine those two elements, you get something very special. And this book, well, for the first, I don't know, 25% of the book, I was really frustrated with Kesey. And I, you know, I'm sitting here reading it going, damn you, Kesey, what are you doing? And what Kesey does is employs a jumping, sporadic POV narrator. You don't know who or when or why the POV is jumping to. There are very few clues to give you that temporal sense of character and place, and it's really frustrating. And what I found to be the way into this narration or this narrative was just to let go and to let Kesey drown you in his writing. And that's what you have to do that. And Kesey will take you down and you'll struggle. And when you finally let go, he brings you up and you get a gulp of air and everything becomes clear. But it takes you trusting the writer in order for this book to really unlock. And it's an amazing story. I can't say I liked any of the characters. I liked the old hound dog, but Well, you know what? Just go read the book. All of these books, if you go and read them, they will change you. They will change how you see the world and how you interact with it. And I know that may sound gimmicky, but I'm telling you the truth. These are powerful books, and they will stay with you. So I'm looking forward to another year of Reading Envy podcast, and I hope that 2015 is a good year for all of you. So happy reading.
Thanks, Casey. Wow, sounds like someone we need to have on a Reading Envy podcast episode. It's funny because I read a book on my vacation when I was in Florida in the Bahamas that specifically referenced Let Us Now Praise Famous Men by James Agee. So, just weird to hear about it again so soon. And I did want to mention that actually before I close this out, I did blog a little bit about reading in place. I always make a big effort to pick books set in the places where I'm going. And I was in Florida, kind of like the northern mid-coastal region, and in the Bahamas. And so I picked some interesting books that were related. Some of them were a bit of a stretch, like one was an alien ocean planet, but it kind of came close. So that is always fun to think about. So as for me, and for Reading Envy, our first episode of 2015 will be all about our reading goals for the year, and we're going to share a little bit about the books that we've read over the holidays. I don't know about you, but I seem to have a lot more time to read when I'm not working, so that's probably good. That'll be exciting. And for the next few days of the year, because I'm recording this on Sunday, December 28th, I'm going to be racing to try to finish some of the books that I had put on my reading goals for 2014. So that means binge reading Flannery O'Connor short stories. I've made it about a third of the way through so far, and reading as much Philip Roth as I can stand. So happy reading, everyone. Thanks again for listening, and contact us anytime and let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you want to be a guest on the Reading Envy podcast, and we'll see you in 2015. Thank you for listening to the Reading Envy podcast. You can find us at readingenvy.com.